Hello and welcome to another episode of Dez and Marco.
I'm Dez.
And I'm Marco. How are you, Dez?
I am absolutely fine. Oh, by the way, I'm going to kind of get into something straight away, and I don't know how you feel about this intro, as in the intros that we do, because I was reading a podcast thread for like creators, and I consider myself a creator.
Of course.
And it was going on about habits in podcasts which make you want to stop listening.
Oh dear.
Yeah, and it was basically everything that we do.
Like press everything from press record onwards.
Yeah, it was like they take ages to get to the topic on their heading. I was like, oh, we do that. And then it was like they always talk about personal things before they start the podcast. Oh, we do that. I was like, I personally think a little bit of banter, just a little bit. And obviously you don't want too many inside jokes. I get it. It did make me think about, do people appreciate all the foreplay?
I don't know, because literally no one has ever written anything to us. So we literally have zero feedback from people.
Anyway, I thought this list, which I might even link in the episode notes if anybody's curious to see habits of podcasts which annoy you, and maybe drop us a line about how we don't do everything on that list, just to lift our morale a little bit.
Yeah.
Otherwise, yes, I am absolutely fine. I have got my Christmas brew ready, because again, this one expires very soon as well.
Okay, well then let's not waste any more time. What is it?
So this is actually a first for us, because it's a beer from Poland.
Oh wow, cool.
From a relatively new brewery, started up in 2012, called, I'm going to murder this pronunciation, Browar Stu Mostow. But it's basically based in Wrocław, Poland. And this is their holiday stout. How about you?
Holidays. Okay, so I was like thinking a little bit out of the box for this episode. The beer that I picked is not a beer. It's a slice of cheesecake. And there's two reasons for that, Des. So the first one being, I literally did not have time to go to the supermarket and pick up a new one. I have a few beers in the fridge, but we've already reviewed them. And second of all, I am desperately hungover right now, because yesterday I had my company Christmas party. Things got a little bit messy. And so today was not a very easy day. And in the afternoon, I had to go to like a wedding. So that had more drinking. So I don't think it's a good idea for me to continue drinking, but cheesecake is good.
Cheesecake is amazing. By the way, this reminds me of something that maybe this is the moment that this podcast spins from being what it is to like a cheesecake reviewing podcast, and maybe we will become super successful. Lots of maybes.
Yeah. Leave a note in the comments. Leave a comment and let us know if we should pivot to cheesecake instead of beers. But anyway, whatever. So we literally spent the first 10 minutes just talking about random stuff when you said it's like one of the big no-nos. Anyway, the news. So we had the video game awards this week. I don't know about any of the awards, but it's also like a good opportunity. And I think you're going to talk about those later, but they usually take that event as an opportunity to show some interesting trailers or some interesting announcements for future games. And oh my God, did they deliver. So, you know, our 2020 game of the year was Hades, and we both absolutely loved it and played it for countless hours. So a sequel's coming out. So that's a first for the developer Supergiant Games. So this is the first sequel they do. It's called Hades 2. And there's just like a little trailer. You play as a different character this time.
Yeah.
And from the trailer, it's implied that you fight Kronos. So he's the Titan of Time. And there was like a cool catchphrase that says time cannot be stopped, and I cannot wait for this game.
I saw the trailer. I've also read a Polygon article talking about everything we know so far about Hades 2. By the way, I think the title is in development, because as you mentioned, you don't actually play as Zagreus anymore, so you're no longer the son of Hades.
The son of Hades. Mm-hmm.
you will be playing a female character called Melino. It's pronounced Melinoy, but it's written Melino. But it is, a true-to-life Greek goddess, and she will be the son of Zagreus, if I understand correctly. And there'll also be a whole raft of, let's say, deities, which they couldn't include or didn't include in the first one, including some notable names, such as Apollo.
Because Apollo wasn't in the first
one. He wasn't in the first one. And other big, let's say, Greek names, such as Nemesis.
Ooh.
And the great thing about the first Hades is that it was all pretty accurate with its depiction of Greek mythology. And they managed to work within the gray area of, we're not quite sure of the lineage of this character, but they all existed and the relationships were all real. So apparently that's continuing on into this one.
Well, I cannot wait.
Yeah, neither can I, especially because Cronus is, in theory, the father of Hades. And if you know Greek mythology, all the children rebelled against the fathers, and that gave rise to, like, the era of the gods.
The Olympians.
Yeah.
But anyway, they didn't really give much more information than that, apart from the fact that we will get more information on early access in 2023, but it wasn't really established when. But you can already wishlist it on Steam and in the Epic Store.
I am buying this.
Yeah, like day one.
When it's in early access. Not even day one. I'm going to early access it because you just know the price is going to go up and I know it's going to be a good product.
Yeah. Supergiant Games has always delivered. So definitely going to take advantage of that as well. Also, there's another one. There was another trailer for the newest Rocksteady game. And if you remember, Rocksteady are the ones from the Batman Arkham series.
Yes.
Only the three main ones. So all of them except for Origins, which was developed by WB Montreal or something like that.
The good ones.
And yeah, the good ones, like you said. And so they're releasing another one. There's just a trailer, so you don't really understand what the gameplay is going to be like, but we can assume that it's going to be similar. And it's called Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League. And so the trailer is just pretty much like the Suicide Squad captures the Flash and they're basically beating him up, and then Batman shows up. Interesting thing is Batman is voiced by Kevin Conroy, who's the historical voice of Batman ever since the animated series in the 90s. And he sadly and prematurely passed away like a couple of months ago.
Yeah, it was quite quick as well.
Yeah, he was, I think he had cancer. Anyway, so that game, of which we don't really know much about yet, has a release date of May 26th, 2023. So, might be interesting, but let's see. But I think you wanted to talk about the award ceremony, the awards themselves.
Not much. I mean, as you said, a lot of games were announced doing this. We mentioned Hades 2. Hades was up for an award in the best indie category. It didn't win. Having said that, it wasn't released this year, so it's not much of news. And to nobody's surprise, I think, the big winners of the night were Elden Ring, which pretty much it won Game of the Year, and it won pretty much most of the awards. And the awards it didn't win were won by God of War Ragnarok. Again, that has reviewed incredibly well, so no real surprise. Unfortunately, it is a PlayStation exclusive, so if you're not on that console, you probably won't get to experience it until it comes to PC sometime down the line.
But for example, the one before, so the one that I think they called it just God of War, like the one where you're Kratos, yeah. I think his name is, and you go around like with your son. I think that one was released on PC eventually.
It was released a few months ago because I think PlayStation changed their
business
policy or whatever, their policy. Yeah. So in a very short space of time, the God of War game was released on PC, and that was so successful that they accelerated the release of both Spider-Man. So Spider-Man Remastered, which I've literally just started playing, really good.
Yeah, it's really fun.
Also Spider-Man Miles Morales, which I will probably get when it goes on sale, just because I'm playing through the old one right now.
Yeah, no, I'll do the same. And actually, no, it's interesting that those two games won. So I have played a little bit of the Elden Ring, but it's just so difficult. I don't know. I just got to literally the first bad guy and kept dying. And I got really tired of it.
I've never actually played a FromSoft game, so they're famous for the Dark Souls games.
Yeah.
And they are notoriously difficult, and they are, in my opinion, I don't know, they're very creepy as an aesthetic. They're not really what I'd consider mainstream, but incredibly popular because they're incredibly difficult. And then this is like their first open world game, and apparently the open world nature of it means that if you come across a boss which is too difficult, you can just go around him and do something else.
Oh, okay. I'll keep that in mind, because a friend of mine, like, I borrowed the game from a friend. He was telling me, like, this game is so good, it's amazing, it's like the best game I've ever played and things like that. And then I tried playing it, and it was just, I don't know, not really for me, but I might give it another try. But I did start the first God of War, so the one where you're with the kid, and yeah, it's all right. But I played for like 20 minutes. But anyway, don't want to get sidetracked.
So a special mention in the Game of the Year awards, you gave yourself a goal, so to speak, or a target of trying to play as many indie games as possible in this year. And one that I think we've spoken about, but we haven't had a chance to play yet, is Stray, where you play a cat.
Ah, yeah, in like a weird, like, cyberpunky world, no?
Yeah, so it's set in some sort of not too distant future, and all humans appear to have been replaced by, like, computers. And they seem to be, like, if you get spotted, they chase you. But otherwise, they seem to be going along their normal lives. And you can basically play as a cat solving puzzles, and, you know, it's not a very long game. It sounds terrible, but I think the take-home sort of star feature of this is that the dynamics of how you behave like a cat are, like, really good. And obviously, it gave rise to tons of memes. It's actually not that expensive, so I might buy it and give it a go, just because it's on my to-do list. But obviously, having got Game Pass at the moment, I am in no rush to buy any games.
Yeah, of course.
So, yeah, so that's one mention. And the other mention, which is something which strays away from games completely, is the best adaptation category, where it basically looks at video game material which is being adapted for the screen.
Okay.
There's a lot of good shows which we've mentioned on this show. So, for example, the Uncharted movie, which we mentioned, was up for an award. Sonic the Hedgehog 2, which was mentioned in our Dez versus Marco episode, which I won. And the Cuphead show, which we mentioned, is on it as well. Cyberpunk Edgerunners, which I gave a very strong recommendation. And also the Arcane League of Legends Netflix TV series. So I thought those are all really good adaptations, hence they're all being nominated. And Arcane, I think, edged it. And again, I don't have anything against that decision. I think you could have picked any of those, except for like Cuphead, Sonic, and Uncharted. And it would have been a fair decision. So those are good adaptations. So even if you're not into games, those are good watches, in my opinion. And most of them, Arcane in particular, has incredible animation.
Yeah, I heard about it being like really high production value, but I haven't watched it.
Yeah, and I think that's a perfect segue into our main category of today.
Yes, so I saw this latest Netflix, I don't know if you can call it a documentary, but I guess that's what it is, which is called Pepsi, Where's My Jet? And it is insane.
Yeah, I've not actually watched it, but I have read a few articles about the real story, and it's crazy to think what actually happened in the 90s.
Yeah, mid-90s, at the height of the cola wars between Pepsi and Coca-Cola. Both companies with insane marketing departments and really fighting it out to see who would be the king of colas. So Pepsi was sort of positioning itself as the cool kids drink, and they decided to come up with like a new marketing stunt, which was called Pepsi Points. Pepsi Points were like, obviously, the more Pepsi you drink, the more points you get. And then with those points, you can redeem different items. So think sunglasses, leather jacket, skateboard, backpack, that kind of stuff. So you could have the Pepsi look, which was, again, like cool kid. And there was a TV ad for this. And the TV ad is basically like this kid getting up, getting ready to go to school. So he puts on various items and pieces of clothing that you can get with those points. Every time he puts on an item, like the sunglasses, it tells you sunglasses, X amount of points, like 100 points. At the end, the kid arrives at school on a Harrier jet, so like a jet fighter. And they say at the bottom, like Harrier jet, whatever many million points. thing is, there were no disclaimers on that ad. There was nowhere saying, like, you know, asterisk is saying, and then at the bottom saying there's no actual jet. Yeah. And this one young man, because I think he was like either late teens or early 20s, but anyway, he was a student. He took that literally and started devising a plan on getting that amount of points to get the jet. Then the thing escalates because he manages to find an investor in his plan, who's like a friend of his. She manages to find an investor. He creates a business plan to convince him, like, if you spend like $700,000, you can get enough points to get that jet. And then he sends all those points to Pepsi. And then like a legal battle starts. I don't want to spoil the end of it or whatever, but like this story is absurd. And Pepsi at the beginning is like thinking that this kid is like, he just wants to, he found a loophole and wants to sue Pepsi for money. But like, actually, he just wanted the jet.
Yeah, so that's the debate which Netflix has dramatized. I've put an article in the notes, and it's a very good article from the Guardian newspaper where they interview the actual kid who did this, who's not a kid anymore. And as you said, he was a community college student at the time. He saw this, he saw the no disclaimers, and he had the secret sauce. And the secret sauce is that... he had a millionaire acquaintance.
Yeah.
They looked at the website. They looked at the advert. They saw there was no disclaimers. And they were like, okay, but a Harrier jet costs, I think, $25 million or something like that. And they looked at the mm-hmm. amount of points you needed. And they looked at how much Coke you would need to buy to get those points. And they physically couldn't get that much Coke. Oh, sorry, that much Pepsi.
Yeah.
There was an actual disclaimer that you could actually buy points with cash. The idea being that if you were like a two or 3 points short from getting like the sunglasses, you could give them like $5 or whatever it was and get it. And so then they did the maths and they said, okay, well, to buy X number of points to win the Harrier jet, I would need $700,000. So this guy was like, if I can get a Harrier jet for $700,000, that's an instant win.
Yeah, that's because it's a fraction of its cost.
Yeah. So... again, maybe an oversight from Pepsi's legal department.
Yeah.
Maybe, though, this could have been a golden opportunity for marketing. So the lawyer who represented them, he was saying that he thinks that this was a royal F-up from Pepsi because...
yeah, definitely.
But not so much like they made a mistake with the Harrier jet or whatever, but the fact that they hammered down so heavily on this guy to basically, like, legal him out of existence... They literally tried to lawyer his ass. They could have turned it into like a PR win by saying, we can't actually give you a jet. Like, you know, there are laws against it because it's a fighter jet and it's regulated and all that sort of stuff. But they could have like flown him around from city to city and or done something else at a fraction of the cost of the actual lawsuit.
Yeah, exactly. But I don't know. I'm just like fascinated by the story itself because it's so absurd. You know, this was like mid-90s America, so I think it was like fresh from the, you know, the woman that sued McDonald's for the hot coffee thing.
Yeah. Oh, okay, that reminds me. That is one of those cases which sounds so stupid. Like, why are you suing them from hot coffee? Of course coffee is hot. But again, our favorite YouTube channel, Legal Eagle, has a video of lawsuits which sound stupid, but they're not. And that's an actually really serious concern. Like, this woman had serious burns, and she just wanted her medical treatment paid for. She didn't sue McDonald's.
Okay. All right. Well, then it turned into, like, an urban legend.
But it's true. That was the time in America where all these lawsuits were coming, let's say, to the media.
Yeah. If you haven't seen the documentary, I recommend it because it's like the story is just so absurd. But on the other hand, I kind of wanted to move into like a slightly different topic. If you've read articles that tell you what happened, probably you're good. You don't need to watch this. I'm getting really annoyed at Netflix documentaries. Ever since that, what was it? The Tiger King.
Yeah.
Pepsi Where's My Jet is 4 episodes. It could have been one. Or it could have been a 20-minute YouTube video, just tell me the facts. And there's those like common elements from all the Netflix documentaries, like the timeline that goes like back and forth. And it's like, we go back to when he was a kid and he did this. And now he's an adult, but he needs, he likes mountaineering. So let's go and see what mountain he's climbing now. But But no, now let's go back to the jet thing. And he finds a lawyer. But let's talk about the lawyer. Like, they drag it on for so long. It was kind of boring to follow, which is silly because this is such a ridiculous topic. And it's a topic that hooked me. And I was watching because I just wanted to know how it ends up. I mean, the ending is a bit weak. Won't say how the lawsuit or how the situation got resolved. But it was unnecessarily dramatized. Like, they got actors to play the guy as a kid and the lawyer as a like a younger man. But it's just tell me the facts. If you're going to do a documentary, just tell me the fact. And I think I mentioned it when we talked about the Formula One documentary, The Drive to Survive, which ultimately is responsible for getting a ton of people into Formula One, which is great, especially as a fan of the sport myself. But as a fan of the sport, ultimately, I care a lot more about what happens on track. And they try to create these rivalries between drivers that aren't there.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. And I think Netflix is kind of making a name for itself because the style of documentary that they produce, which is now increasing rapidly in number, because I presume they're quite cheap to produce and Netflix is churning out content to fill up its streaming service.
Yeah.
To the point that it's almost a running joke. If you go onto YouTube and you write Netflix style documentary, you will find hundreds, maybe thousands of creators who have created their mockumentary style Netflix documentaries.
Yeah.
The one which I like is from a guy called Paul E.T. He's an Australian guy who does various videos and stuff, you know, semi-serious.
Yeah.
He made a Netflix style documentary about anything, and I think he makes one about toast, and he highlights all the elements that you said, so the lighting and how you have to sit, so then you get that look, that Netflix documentary style look, and he talks about the timeline, the drone shots from stock footage, the introducing unnecessary characters for no reason and making it look as if they're involved.
The one piano key
and it's actually very well done in the sense that he does take out those elements. And once you see them, like, you can't take a Netflix documentary seriously anymore because it's like, oh, no, here comes the piano key. It's almost become like a meme, you know, the Netflix style documentary. It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. They also did a Netflix style episode where Dennis's wife dies. And they're trying to find out whether Dennis did it. And obviously, Dennis looks guilty as hell because he is a psycho. But it turns out, like, it's completely made up. Like, there's footage of his wife dying, falling off a roof. And, you know, but they still try to, you know, make plots out of nothing just because they're creating a Netflix-style documentary.
Yeah, exactly. So, anyway, I don't know. My recommendation would be watch it because it's a ridiculous story. But it's kind of a waste of time. I'm imagining some of the YouTubers, educational YouTubers that I follow. We talk about Cold Fusion a lot. He could make a much better video about this topic, I think.
I think you're right. And as you said, this is specifically a legal issue. It could have been a video of our friend Legal Eagle. But it turned out to be a 4-hour long miniseries.
Yeah, exactly. With a bunch of unnecessary people and that it wasn't necessary. Anyway. And that's it. It's kind of weird because I'm watching a bunch of different things, but they haven't ended. I'm playing a couple of games, but I haven't finished them. So we're sort of like in this in-between thing. And ultimately, I'm just looking for things to watch while I'm having dinner.
Also, the World Cup is on, so that's taking up a lot of our time.
Yeah, exactly. Although we're past the group stage, so now I can only watch one match at a time instead of, or like one or two per day instead of four. I was not very productive those days, I'll tell you that.
I don't think the world was productive, but anyway. Okay, so Marco, how was your cheesecake?
So, I'm going to shock you, Des. It did not taste like beer.
Whoa!
Yeah. So as a beer, I would give it 0 out of 6. But as a cheesecake, that was really good cheesecake. So my partner has started making, or has already made for a couple of years, but I've had to beg her to make more, Basque burnt cheesecake.
Ooh, that sounds nice.
Yes, it is unbelievable. I love it. I can't have enough of it. And I'm not really into, like, I don't love sweets that much. But this is definitely a guilty pleasure. Never mind. Let's not talk about cheesecake. How's your Polish beer?
It's actually pretty good. I don't know what's holiday about it. It tastes like a stout. And unlike, I don't know, Guinness, like a famous stout, this doesn't seem to be quite as heavy, but it is still quite strong at 6.4%. So I don't taste many Christmas notes. I think it's a very decent stout, but I don't think there's anything special about it. So if you're going to like a craft brewery and you come across them, yeah, give it a go. But I wouldn't go out of my way to go find this beer. As such, I would give it a 3.5 out of a six pack.
Okay.
It's a light stout. I don't get much of the holiday notes in it, but it was good to try.
All right. Well, good to hear. Des, so today we talk a little bit about the video game awards. Hades 2 was announced. We're both insanely hyped about it and cannot wait until 2023 when they'll tell us more. Then Elden Ring won best game. God of War won also a bunch of awards. Best indie game is Stray, the one that you play as a cat. So we might give that one a try. And then we had a little chat about the latest Netflix documentary called Pepsi, Where's My Jet? About a crazy story that I recommend you read up about or watch the documentary. But maybe just read up about it, because Netflix documentary now are all starting to look the same and they're just unnecessarily long. Having said that, Tess, I'll talk to you next time.
See you next time, guys.
Time cannot be stopped.